Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Jim McGovern, when we were speaking last time, you brought up the loss of Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader. The New York Times terming it the most stunning defeat possibly in primary congressional history. First of all, what was your reaction on a personal level? Do you know Eric Cantor?
No, I do know Eric Cantor, and we've always had a cordial relationship. I've been a strong opponent of all that he stands for. He represents the hardline right wing of the party, the Republican Party, and he's been behind, shutting our government down and sequestration and some of the devastation that has been done to programs that benefit the most vulnerable in our country. I've never been a fan of his politics, but I do know him and I've had a cordial relationship with him. And, on a personal level, I think when you see anybody lose, especially unexpectedly, it's you can't help but feel bad for them and their families. But, Eric Cantor, I don't think was, a member of Congress who cared about the things that I did. Having said that, he was being challenged by a guy who said that Cantor wasn't right-wing enough. I didn't know it was possible to get to the right of Eric Cantor, but apparently it is. And you get defeated by a guy who, obviously hates immigrants who I don't think believes in a minimum wage and who, is the ultimate extremist. I don't believe that he will be a very constructive force here in Congress. And if that's kind of the trend that this next election moves in, I think we're in deep trouble. I hope that people stand up and push back. But what we need is not more of Tea Party extremists. We need more people who want to solve problems, get things done.
So there are sort of a couple of competing schools of thought here, certainly as far as the Democrats go and the minority in the House. Some looked at this as, Eric Cantor's comeuppance. The government's been shut down. There's been fights over the debt ceiling. And now Cantor's going to lose his leadership and his seat, it looks like. Some people say, well, that's a feather in the hat of the Democrats, and they didn't even have to be the ones to run against him and win. Others say this is only opening the door for more right-wing leadership and positions and committees and so on in the House. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. Look, I'm not shedding any tears that Eric Cantor will no longer be in Congress, but he's not being replaced by a Democrat or even a thoughtful Republican. He's being, replaced by an extremist, even more extreme than Eric Cantor. So that doesn't help create a better atmosphere here in the House of Representatives. I think what it has, that the Tea Party's victory over Eric Cantor energizes kind of the more intolerant right-wing talk shows to spew more hate. Because I think that helped Cantor's opponent considerably. But look, we have an election coming up in Mississippi, or two Republicans are in the runoff. Senator Cochran, I disagree with him on probably 80% of what he stands for, but you can do business with him. The guy who's running against him, again, is similar to the man who defeated Eric Cantor, a guy who doesn't want to compromise. Compromise is a dirty word. Thinks government is evil. I mean, again, representing the most extreme elements. And so I think what happened in Cantor's race energizes some of the right wingers to spend even more time and put more intensity into, electing more extreme candidates. So, yeah, I like I said, I'm not crying that Eric Cantor left, but he wasn't replaced by somebody better. He's being replaced by someone, if you can believe it or not, even worse.
Well, where does that leave the Democrats in November? Because, you're in the minority right now, and the people who make their living kind of guessing at where the House will fall say it's a real long shot for them to retake control here.
Well, look, I mean, part of the challenge for Democrats is we need to remind people what we're for. We're all against, the extreme Tea Party people. We need to remind people what we're for. And we're trying to make education more affordable. And yet we have Republicans in the Senate who are filibustering a bill that would do just that. You know, we need to remind people that we're the party of a livable wage. We're trying to raise the minimum wage. You know, people who work full-time in this country still live in poverty. They still need food stamps. They still need, you know, government assistance because their wages are so low. We need to fix that. We need to remind people that we're for dealing with climate change. You know, we're trying to get a bill together that will deal with some of these issues so that we can have a cleaner environment and hopefully maybe pave the way for a whole new industry and jobs in the area of green technologies. You know, we believe in, in fairness and in justice, and we need to go and remind people what we're for. To me, that's more important than telling people what we're against. And I think if we do that, we might be able to energize our base to come out and vote. There's an article I read in the New York Times saying that a lot of the people who like President Obama are less likely to vote in the midterms. Well, we need to change that. We need to remind people that these midterms are important. You know, if we lose the Senate, in addition to losing the House, you know, we're going to be facing even tougher times. The Republican budget in the House is $700 million below sequestration levels. It is just unbelievably stupid and destructive. Now, if you have a Republican Senate that passes a budget similar to that, you know, then the president is negotiating, with them at levels that are below sequestration. I mean, it is destructive for our country, and we need to remind people that elections do matter, and that it is important to participate. I think if our base comes out, I think we'll do okay. But the issue is our base isn't motivated, and that in part reflects on us for not doing a better job of reminding people what we're for.
Let's touch on what the next few months will look like now. There's been a lot of feeling that Cantor's loss means, you know, a lot of legislative momentum, if there was any, in this already least productive Congress is now kind of off the table. And you've got summer recess coming up. We've got an election coming up. So, is there any hope for, say, immigration reform or other issues, in the next couple of months here?
Well, the pundits are saying that, Cantor's loss means that immigration reform is dead. Having said that, Cantor was never a big supporter of immigration reform to begin with. But you know what? We'll have to see. The tragedy would be that we, get through the year and there's no immigration reform, which means that the Senate passed bill, is no longer relevant. We have to start all over again in both the Senate and the House. And I just think that this is an issue that we need to deal with. We need to, deal with how do we improve our immigration system, obviously. How do we have better border control? That's important. But we've got people in this country who are working, who are contributing to this country. You know, we ought to help them find a path to citizenship. And, rather than just kind of keeping this kind of underground economy, it's in our interest that people come forward. And I'm not sure whether it's dead or not, but immigration reform as a result of Cantor's loss, and given the fact that his opponent focused so much on the on immigration, I think it makes it more less likely we're to get something.
It's Congressman Jim McGovern, a Democrat from Massachusetts' 2nd District on the Congressional Corner, and I'm Ian Pickus, keeping the seat warm for Alan Chartok. Congressman, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and when we come back the next time, we'll pick up the conversation.
Terrific. Thank you.